Sorry.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's pretty close to the same thing. I don't have the old one with me, but I just asked them to redo it to make sure we had an accurate quote for the warrant, and that's what she sent me. So that's what it's going to be.
Okay. And so I had a question on it. In the quote itself that was generated on December the 30th, 2020, it says we have 30 days in which to agree to that quote, or else it may be could be rescinded, is the word. Now, obviously, we can't sign any contract until we get a vote of the voters, which would be on March 6th. So will they pretty much hold that number for us till after our annual meeting, do you think?
I'm very confident in that. I'll make sure that that's the case, but I'm very confident that they will.
Okay. All right. And are you comfortable with the work that
Jay,
to be put
on? I'm sorry.
Yep.
I have the same exact. It's 37,100. We have 37,600 in our draft for the warrant.
Right.
So basically the same number. I mean,
yeah.
It didn't go down. Okay. I just want to be clear. Okay.
Well,
many times,
Okay.
Many times on warrants, we do increase a little bit just in case something goes wrong. So I don't know if you want to consider that rather than having the exact number.
I'd probably you're right. I'd probably leave it where it is in case there is any fluctuation, or if we need another couple of tons of asphalt to just get to the end of our road. That's what that money would be used for.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing, Kelly, that it talked about a regrind and then a 2.5 inch base, a coarse base, compacted to 2 inches. So that doesn't have the wear coat being put down. Would that be a following year?
That's typically how they do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Or the end of the summer of this year.
Right.
I'll clarify that too, Jay. That's a good question.
All right. Okay. And do you have anything else, Kelly? I mean, you did pretty good on this snowstorm, and I guess it was a heavy wet stuff. No damage to the vehicles.
No. And everything went smooth. It was long and it was not enjoyable. It usually isn't, but no, everything went well. The only thing I do have is that I have a doctor's appointment. I have to be out of here at 11, so I don't see it on the agenda, but we had talked about a review today. So
yeah.
I don't know if it's still possible, if you guys plan on being done by that time, before that time, but I'd only need a few minutes.
Oh, okay. No, what we were going to talk about today, the review for yourself, would be just amongst the commissioners for our first time to discuss your performance in the 2020. So we'll be discussing that today and putting together a write-up, and then we will pull you in on the second meeting, which will probably be next week, hopefully, and then we can discuss with you and hear your input, and then the third meeting would be for the commissioners to decide upon any increase to your salary.
Okay.
All right, so today's meeting is just between the commissioners. Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't see it on the agenda, so I didn't know if you were still doing it.
Yep, no, still doing it. Yep. All right. Nothing else, Kelly?
Nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's slow as a herd of turtles out there. It's a good
I
thing.
Know.
We're catching up on a lot of shop stuff and miscellaneous stuff.
Okay, cool. All right, I'm going to jump right down to the administrator report. I don't think we've done anything with the small claims process. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, and Kathy just sent in, I'll throw this in under administrative, excuse me, Kathy just sent in this morning the letter to go to the water users for non-payment of amounts over $1,000, and that will be a certified letter mailed to each of the, I believe it's 6 property owners.
Yes.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, and I left it so that you can at least fill in the blanks as opposed to making it an actual form letter so she can put in the actual amount that is due and the property address at which the water shutoff will be shut off.
Yeah.
Because some people do owe more than one lot, so I just wanted to make sure that it was clear what was going to happen.
Yeah, and did we agree to the date of February the 15th as the shutoff date?
I just put that in there. So we can,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to give them 30 days from the date of the letter.
No, I'd rather.
I just put that in there.
Make it, I know we haven't gotten the letter out yet, but I'd almost like to make it February 10th. Legally, we can turn the water off today because they've already been noticed more than once.
What's February 10th? Is that significant? Is February 10th significant?
Giving it enough time for a certified letter to get there to the post office or to their box, and obviously they'll be picked up as well. It gives them almost 2 weeks.
That's why I gave them February 15th.
Three of them keep coming back. You know, nobody's claiming the certified letters.
Okay. That's fine. We would still have
can
the right to
Can you send
go
it regular and, mail and certified mail?
Yeah, I could do whatever you tell me.
Well, I'm going to send one of each. At least that way, you know, maybe for some reason people can't get to the post office or something. Let's just send one copy in the regular mail and one copy certified, and that way.
Yeah.
You'll
beautiful.
Know.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and
people
and I'm guessing that. I'm guessing that four of those are already been shut off, but at least we're covering our bases. We're covering our bases, and then Ian can go to all those properties and just confirm that they are, in fact, shut off.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve this letter for Donna to send out as soon as possible.
I'll second the motion. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Okay, so, Jay, you did read it? I always want to get your input, just because historically you know of things that have come up, but I know you like to include the ordinance just to confirm what is it we're doing.
No, I think it's pretty clear. Didn't want to get too – you know me. I get too wordy.
Yep. Okay. So I think that was to the point and done. And I don't know, maybe, Donna, even include a copy of the most recent statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still have to fill out those questions for the auditor. I think the treasurer.
We didn't vote on that motion.
So I vote yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. And jumping down to the questions for the auditor, I know that the Board of Commissioners has a series of questions, as well as the treasurer. Was there anybody else, Donna, that was on that list from the auditors?
Not for questionnaires, no.
Okay.
Well, the office says, you know, to get everything.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay, so.
Jay, you agreed you had volunteered at the last meeting to fill that out and then send it to Kathy and I.
Yep. So I haven't done that yet, and I will get to that. And we also have the, this is the 91A status. Of the 35 or 38 requests from Adam Leiser. So I'm still working on that for any of the ones that Donna couldn't find. And to be honest with you, it's very unlikely that I'll be able to find them either. The motion action.
I mean, things that you don't think exist, or we just don't know where they're located?
I don't know where they look. I don't even know if they exist. We've already discovered that some of the things he's requesting don't even exist.
Right.
I
know some of the easy ones are fine.
Then if you don't think you looked for them, you can't find them, you don't think they exist, write him a note and say, we have no record of any, we cannot locate any record of this, so we believe it does not exist. And let's put it to bed.
No. Yeah, exactly. Very simple.
Okay, let's do that as soon as possible this week and get as many of them done, at least checked off, so you can get the ones done and get this thing done. Okay.
Okay. And then we have the motion action log, which I'd like to have revised. I know Lynn was working on that. That is pretty important. And
so you know
also,
what, Jay?
Yeah.
Jay, you know what? I will volunteer to take that on because that's something I can do easily from here, and it's just a matter of going through the minutes and updating that report. So if Donna could send me what you've got, where we left off, I'll go in and update that.
Okay. Because that's what I do when I do the agenda every Wednesday is I go back and look at the previous meeting, if not even further meetings, to find out what we talked about, which may have a result in a period of time later on. So just trying to keep mm-hmm. these things active.
As long as the minutes reflect, you know, especially if it's a major thing, who's going to do it? Like the dam management plan and the water emergency plan, and so that it will reflect the person that's going to do it, whether it's the office or one of us. But no, I can go back and get that caught up and drop off the things that have been completed. So I will take on that task.
Okay, and then there's the thing we talked about last week, which was calling back the fire extinguisher company to check those ones up at the lodge. Has that been scheduled?
I've reached out to him, and he hasn't returned my call yet.
Okay. And moving on to the Ford F-550. So Donna had gotten some costs related to putting this advertisement in paper, in three different papers, I believe, for $195. I had, let me just see, I guess, for information here. I'd gone online. There's two local websites that do municipal surplus inventory, and one is called municibid.com. It's entirely free. You can set a minimum reserve. I'm sorry? Whoop. Kathy,
nobody said anything.
Okay. I have some background. But anyhow, the other one is a New Hampshire state surplus. It's nicknamed the White Farm, and it's a farm way up in northern New Hampshire where a lot of municipalities bring their extra equipment or used equipment. But they have actual auction dates, and the next one is in May. And that's just waiting a little too long. So we can also use, what was the other ones, Craigslist, which is, again, free. But the thing that I need is basically just some photographs of the Ford F-550. I know right now it's covered in snow, but I was just wondering if Kelly had any photographs prior to it being snow-covered.
Excuse me, Jay. Those photographs are in that bid package from the Brant Kingsbury. He took pictures of the vehicle.
Oh, and the pictures are in that form that he sent us?
Yes.
Okay. I'll see if I can extract them. I'll use those. All right. So what do we want to do now? So what I'm proposing is that we use municibid.com, Craigslist, and the three newspapers that Donna has reached out to.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, that's a motion, and that we set the minimum bid to the amount that we discussed last week.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion on putting this out for bid? And I guess my question is, on the municibid.com, what time frame? It's basically like an eBay. You have 30 days to put your bid in, or 20 days, or whatever you want to set it at. So what time frame are we looking to have this vehicle sold by?
I said 30 days.
30? Okay. All right. So 30 days, going to municibid.com, Craigslist, and the three local newspapers. That's the motion on the table. Do we have any further discussion?
Yeah, who's gonna write all this ad up and place it?
I can write up, well, whatever I write for the municibid.com and Craigslist will be the same thing that could probably go on the paper.
Okay, so when are you going to get that done? So we talk about 30 days. Should we just make it February 28th, like the last day of February? And because... Unless you're going to get it done today and get it placed today, would that be better?
Yeah, February 28th.
That's fine.
We could call it the 29th and it will be never ending, but mm-hmm. All right. February 28th will be the end date. Okay? And all in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Done. I'm just writing myself a note here. Okay. So we got accounts payable. and we have a manifest for 21 of six checks totaling $899.09. I'll make a motion that we approve the manifest for $899.09. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a second on the floor. Do we have any discussion on the manifest? Any questions?
Nope.
All right. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Did we have someone else join the call?
No.
I hung up. I meant to mute and I hung up.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Under further, well, maybe it goes under signature items. Never mind. I was going to say the item on the agenda under public comment really should be discussed as part of administration. I think it's important, and unless there was some reason, I don't know if Diane is on today, but we should cover that off soon. Okay.
And that's what I was actually going to do is ask her if she wouldn't mind talking about that now because we're into finances and she's our treasurer. So, Dinah, I'm going to let you go ahead and describe your email that you sent to us yesterday in regards to the water extension fund. I'll just call it that.
Okay. I brought that up, I think, in late November. And as far as opening up the fund. And the consensus of the commissioners seemed to be that you didn't want to do that, which is your consensus and everything. However, I felt strongly enough about that I just wanted to make my known to everybody. The DRA has asked us to do that, and I forgot about the other part, not really forgot, but I wanted to include that that was a warrant article in 2019 that the then Board of Commissioners put up to put that money into the trust fund, and that was passed unanimously in 2019. So with those two factors, I just wanted to express my opinion that I believe we should move that money into a trust fund in Madison.
Well, Dinah, I kind of, to be honest with you, I took a little offense to the email because I believe it was when I was entering in the Warren article last year that it was Michelle Clark that brought it to our attention that her comment was, and it may not have been correct, but she said that that trust fund was adopted under the wrong RSA. It should have been, you know, :C instead of :A. And I spent hours and hours and hours trying to figure that out. And :C is actually a health trust fund, not a regular reserve fund. And then it was Tamar Roberts who brought it to the board's attention when she began putting our paperwork together last year that that money should be in with the trustees of the trust fund in Madison. So we've never decided that we shouldn't do that. It was just, and I reached out to NHMA to find out, you know, is it a different trust fund because it's funded with taxpayer fee? I'm sorry, because it's funded with fees and not taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not that we have ever believed that we should have that money in our care. That was, I don't think anybody ever said that and nobody ever felt that way. And you could have come in and said, look, Donna, we've got to move this money into the trustees' accounts and do it. It's just that, you know, because of COVID, we're not in the office and it just physically hasn't gotten done. I don't think anybody ever decided or felt that that money should not be transferred over to the trustees. And that trust fund was created how many years ago? 20? The Waterline Extension Fund, and the prior board, when they created that fund, they're the ones that decided to put it into the district's bank account and not through the trustees. So when we had the vote on it in 2019, it's because DRA had no record of that account, and so it was a formality, because I reread the minutes, it was a formality to make that a actual trust fund that the DRA recognized. So it was something that just kind of fell through the cracks years ago that it was never properly adopted.
Well, in that meeting in November, Kathy, when I brought it up, you made it clear that you didn't want to do anything and just see what happens. I believe That was
well, because
out of
well,
it.
Because no, because I had reached out to NHMA to find out is this because this money was not taxpayer money, was it to be treated differently, and did the statute that created it have to be changed? Because Michelle had some concerns about it, and I wasn't getting anywhere with it. So I said, all right, well, you know, spending hours and hours of going round and round in circles, I just said, well, leave it as is.
Well,
and I did say that. You're right. Okay. And then
that's your decision. And, that's fine. I just wanted to express my reasoning for thinking it should go to the Madison Trust Funds.
Yeah. And if you read the notes from the 2019 annual meeting, it just says discussion was held on establishing the Waterline Extension Fund with the Department of Revenue as a permanent fund for the district. That's what it said. It didn't say anything about moving it or changing it. It's because the DRA never even had that listed as a trust fund for the district. And you're right, the voters approved it, and that's what we did. You know, it was the paperwork was filled out so that the DRA now had an accounting of that trust fund. So as a treasurer, how do we move the funds out of our separate account over to Madison?
Well, I'm sure there is a form you fill out with the trustees that establishes this account as a trust fund.
Okay. Well, if you get that paperwork to the office, we'll do it.
Yeah, you get that paperwork. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the treasurer's. If you want to move money around, I would think that's the treasurer.
I can move money around, but I can't establish a trust account.
Well, you can.
You want me to proceed with this? I will find out the correct manner of doing it and getting the paperwork to all of us, if that's what you would like me to do.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
That would be very helpful.
Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll be working on that for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Okay, we got that. We had some minor discussion on, I believe it was, what's today? Tuesday. We talked about the budget again, made a couple of tweets. I know, Paula, you were working on some numbers, but ran into some questionable changes in the, what is it, the salary survey or something that you had brought
up?
Yeah,
you know, we got cut short on Tuesday. I don't know. You want to go into a discussion now about, I also think a couple things. We need to have, we need to go through the Warren articles again. We still haven't done that. The last two meetings we've scheduled to specially talk about all this stuff. We've had time limits on them. So I'm concerned just about all the language is correct, that, you know, all of us have really looked at these things carefully and really are agree that these are written correctly. And that, because I think there's still a couple that I'm not sure I wrote correctly when I rewrote them, you know, in terms of what we're asking for. And because I do think that's always important. You always hear people going back, well, this is the way it was written. So we need to go through each Warren article and really read it together and make sure we agree with it. And then I also, I have some issues with the budget numbers because it doesn't, I went through based on, I mean, I have all the hourly rates of what everybody was paid and what week all those raises went into effect. And I calculated like the number of weeks at what rate and the number of weeks at this rate. And based on what I calculated, our actual number for salaries, if it was correct, should be around between 94 and 95,000, and we came in at, we actualized at 98 or 99. So I don't know why that is. I mean, because it makes a difference budgeting for next year. I don't know if maybe we paid overtime by mistake out of the salary line, if we paid one of the part timers out and we put it in the salary line. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't compute right now. At 40 hours a week, if that's what we're paying, a basic 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year.
Right. Donna, did you see Paula's email?
I did.
Do you have any idea why the numbers are different?
I don't. I just put the numbers in from the time cards and QuickBooks calculates it, but I put everything in as regular time, overtime, bonus, and when their pay increases, I do the regular hours as the increase for, you know, anything that their retroactive due goes in that.
So,
was there any time by either employee that was on medical disability where their pay would be covered by Primex?
No.
Nope. Okay, because I know Kelly had, he was out with surgery, and then he also, when he had the accident, falling out of the truck, and I think that was in 2020, he was out for a day or two because of the back injury.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. So, Paula, what was the difference in what you calculated versus what we expended?
So I calculated what we should have paid, and I could have been off by a week or two, but I used those dates we had. And the Kelly one was a little, I used the spreadsheet that you use for payroll. On the second page of the spreadsheet, there's the hourly rates and the dates they all became effective. The Kelly one, the Jeff one lines up in terms of like when it was effective and when its prior year anniversary was. Kelly's anniversary is in January. We gave him a raise last year. It says it was effective in March. I don't know. I'm assuming we paid him retroactively. And if we didn't, then my numbers even would have been even lower. So I assume we paid him, but it didn't say it that way. Jeff made sense. So I calculated assuming that we gave Kelly his raise retroactively according to his anniversary date of January 14th. I came out at $94,428. And the whatever the, well, you guys have
97.8.
The difference I got was 3,370.
Okay.
I was hoping
the only thing I could think of is
that the payroll from the last payroll of the year of last year got calculated into this year could be a possibility.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too, because even though the auditor adjusted in her work paper for the final audit, it may still, you know, when QuickBooks posted it, it just stayed where it was posted. So it's very possible that that's what occurred.
That would apply to this year. Then this year's would be in next year's.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
So right.
Yeah, it's always
weeks.
A moving
–
it's always –
You wouldn't have paid 52 weeks. It wouldn't be off by $3,000. I mean, you're looking
okay.
at, you know.
I'm just going to tell you, this year's first pay period of January was from December 14th through December 27th.
Okay.
So that was dated in January, but it was for December.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Okay, that could be it. That's about $3,000.
Right, between the two of them, yeah.
Okay, but it's
but you're right, Paula.
So
it's still 52 weeks.
Include, yeah. When was the last one calculated for, Donna? What's the last payroll in PayBook and in QuickBooks for what date for this year?
2020.
Yes.
Let me just pull it out. Was through December 20. It was 12/12 through December 25th.
Okay, that pretty much explains it, I think. Okay, now the question is then, what do I? You don't budget for that, though. Do you budget for 54 weeks?
No,
I mean
no.
You
shouldn't, because
that.
It should always be 52 weeks. You know,
right.
whether because the first 2 weeks in December should go to the previous year. So
what's interesting though is that what you guys budgeted last year was much higher than it actually came out. Maybe you gave raises that were lower than you anticipated.
Well, no, we budgeted for 98, and it came out to 98. To like within.
Yeah, but I don't know why
bucks.
You budgeted for 98 because you weren't paying 98. That wasn't what we agreed to pay anybody. That's what's weird is that you over budgeted. Then
right.
You should be showing a shortfall now because of what happened, or not. The question is, how much do you budget now for an increase over 98, or do you just leave it at 98 because that's the right amount to budget for what we actually are paying in 52 weeks plus an increase? That's what we have to decide. Do we want to adjust this? Do we want to fix it now in the budget and make sure at the end of next year that, you know, you account for, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's
because we budgeted 99, so we're kind of right. We're right on target to where. What it actually cost us last year, but that's not including any increases.
It should be for 52 weeks. It should be, you should budget to reflect what it will cost you for 52 weeks, because otherwise you're always going to be 2 weeks behind then. And you're always going to say, well, we're going to, next year, the last pay period should be when, you know? I mean, this year already we've paid 5 days worth of 22,000, it sounds like. We've paid from December 26th through, but it's not going to end on December 31st next year. It should end again on December, you know, sometime at the end of December. It should be 52 weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it was.
So, Donna, I don't know if that's something Catherine can look at, Donna,
paid,
to see.
This year's pay period will end on December 17th.
Okay.
Because the last pay period will be processed on the 21st, which was paid out on the 24th. So we'll have December 20th through the 31st in the first pay period of next year.
Yeah, of 22.
Yep.
Right. Well, yeah. So those last 2 weeks of 2020 actually got paid in 2021. I'm not sure how QuickBooks
does
that.
Happen in 2022.
Exactly.
And we had 27 pay periods because of the holiday.
Yeah. I have to tell you, in the audits, you should have adjusted that last year. I mean, if you paid people till the 31st and you paid it this year, those are 2020 costs. They should have been put in the 2020 budget.
Yeah.
Even though
and
you
I'm sure the Tamer did, and I do recall seeing that she did make journal entries when she did her reconciliation of our income and expenses.
Right. So I think it still comes down to what do you want
to budget.
It may not
be reflected. It may not be reflected in QuickBooks because she did it. That's kind of done separately in a way.
But is your
the
spreadsheet that you do doesn't reflect what's the final numbers in the audit? Are you saying it reflects what we carry on QuickBooks? Okay,
correct.
That's why this is confusing, Kathy. Okay. To me, it's like your books, you have your audit. Those are your final numbers. That's what you should be putting in in the budget for what was actually spent and for this year is what's in the audit from last year. I'm sorry, what's
By the time we got the audit, it was June, so we've been already doing this for 6 months. So and with Catherine on board, maybe that's something that she can do is she's cleaned up an awful lot of leftover things in the trial balance side of it. I think this year it would be good for her to look at the audit and say, okay, now we got the audit to get the income and expenses started correctly and get off on the right foot. Yeah.
Okay.
So speaking of the budget, because you're right, we do have to spend some time putting the final pieces together for the budget hearing. And I know we got a lot to do today, as much as I hate to suggest it. Do you want to get together quickly for an hour on Saturday morning? We can't do it tomorrow because we don't have enough time to post it. But we can
do it tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. Or
Saturday. I can do Saturday.
Yeah, because I don't know if you want to talk quickly about the Warren articles. I did see Paula's PowerPoint that she edited, and there are some issues that I see in there that we need to correct. There's some numbers, obviously, that we have to put in there as well once we get
there. So why don't we, if Donna can post on the bulletin boards, and I'll put on the website, you just want to do Saturday at 9 a.m.? Is that good for the two of you?
Yep.
So I'd like to get this posted to the website Saturday. And that way the public would have or 5 days to digest it. I'm trying to get a watermark on the spreadsheet that says draft on it because of the concerns of, like you mentioned, Paula, people having, you know, dated copies of things. So I'll try to figure out how to do that.
Okay.
So
let's do that. Right. So, I think that's a good idea. Yeah. And then we can finalize these numbers and I can give you these specific numbers on the increases and stuff, but we can figure out what to do there. And then I will, in the meantime, Kathy, I will go back and I'm going to update your PowerPoint one more time. So you can toss that one out that I sent. I'm going to just clean up all the formatting so all the font sizes match and stuff.
They're all the same. Just look at that. Yep.
Yeah, I know. It automatically sets that stuff and I can set it up a little differently. So it everything looks the same. It looks nice.
And I guess I think at the budget hearing, the budget numbers are important to get right. The actual wording in the Warren articles isn't that critical. I think that the public says, okay, you want $20,000 for asset management, and it's going to come from either the water system or the actual wording isn't as critical for the meeting as it is when we sort of entered into DRA. So,
well, the only reason I like to, why not make it right? I mean, my question is, like, why not make have everything match? Because then you're,
correct,
depending on which document you're working off of to enter stuff, you might enter it differently.
Yep.
So I'd rather have, I will update the list of warrant articles, and I'll make sure it matches the PowerPoint, and I'll send you guys both up before before Saturday. And then we can, I'll send that to the office, and we can go over that. And then I think, I'd rather just, I think the more consistent you are across everything.
It is. It makes it look more professional, certainly.
Exactly, yeah. Okay.
So now, Paul, so Jay, just a quick question on it. If Paul is doing this, we talked about 2 weeks ago to Kelly about the $6,000 leaf blower. So is that something that we should include this year, or do you think we should wait? To me, renting it, if they could rent it, because they use it so infrequently, it just seems like a big expense for something that's only used, even if it costs them $2,000 to rent it, we don't have to worry about maintaining it and storing it, and I don't know, it just seems like a lot of money.
Did I leave, is that one just not on there? Or is this,
I don't think it is.
I forgot to add this one. I forgot
to add it. No, it's not on there.
I thought we were going to take that. No, we're not going to take that out of equipment line. Okay, I was thinking of something else.
That was the furnace. That was the heating system.
You're right. I forgot to add it. We had talked about it with Kelly last week.
So I don't.
I'm still here, by the way.
Okay, that's all right.
So Kelly, my thoughts is that it will be used for more than just the leaf blowing in the fall, in that we can clear our roads of sand with the leaf blower as well in the springtime. Is that correct?
The leaf blower that we rent is a little undersized walk behind that we mount on the back of the truck. It basically clears the road, not the ditches. It basically pushes the leaves into the ditches, which we have to end up ditching with the grader, and it's a big job. They don't rent one the size I'm looking at. The size I'm looking at is a directional type where when you get to a driveway, you can move the nozzle so you're not blowing leaves up people's yards or up their driveway so no one's complaining. Now what we have to do is drive real fast when we get to a driveway, so hopefully we don't blow leaves in the yard because then we hear about it. It's also, we can direct it in velocity so we can have more velocity to clean pipes or deep ditches. The little thing we rent, it does the road, but it does nothing for the ditches. Having one on hand at all times, we can blow leaves in the spring. We can blow roads during the summer before we ditch or before we grade. It gives us a lot of leeway, and it will replace, for the most part, our sweeper, which is very aged. It's older than me as long as I've been here. It's going to be due for replacement if we keep using it. This blower will take away the majority of the work that broom does, and it'd be the one item left in our arsenal that would really make a difference in what we do.
Okay. Okay. If you're prepared to speak, and if Kelly's prepared to speak to that, hopefully during that session at the virtual meeting, that would go a long way.
Yeah. The other bit of information that the commissioners need to know as well is that Madison has already outfitted themselves with, I believe, two pieces of leaf blowing or leaf sucking equipment for their leaf and ditch cleaning as well.
Yeah, both towns are trying to do it. They really, it's very important as a road agent and a road supervisor that they really want to do this because we see the advantage.
Okay. That's why I brought it up. I knew that you had suggested it.
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion.
I'll add it for Saturday.
Add it.
We need a motion. I will add it for Saturday draft, and we can just finalize it then and decide if we want to.
Okay.
Kelly, can you send us that dollar number for that unit so that we can plug that into the warrant article?
It was I think it was $6,000 is what Kelly had mentioned.
I have it in the meeting minutes.
It was 55 for the unit and another 500 for outfitting for our backhoe.
Right.
So a total of 6,000.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Kelly.
All right.
So we'll talk about, we'll have that 9 o'clock in the morning meeting on Saturday, talk more about the warrant articles and the budget. Signature item, jumping down to number 7, signature item.
Oh, wait, I'm
item.
Sorry. I have one other comment because, yep. I guess, no, we can do it on Saturday. Never mind. What I think on Saturday we need to do is, just so you guys thinking about it, assign roles and responsibilities for the budget hearing. And I made a list of all the things that need to be done. Like somebody has to say, yeah, I'm going to be that person. And I can send that to you in an email to the office before Saturday.
Okay.
Because I already kind of wrote that up. Okay.
All
thank
right.
you.
All right.
Can I just ask a question? Should I be reaching out to Kelly and Ian for the practice session for the meeting?
I personally don't think so. I mean, I think if we decide that we're going to invite them to the meeting, that they shouldn't need a practice session. I mean, I don't want to pay them to do a practice session on Microsoft Teams. I think they can figure it out. I mean, the point is that if we do invite them to the meeting, they're going to be there to listen, and we can call on them to answer a question and unmute them. And I just don't want to pay extra money for that. I don't think it's
fair. Yeah,
I'm sure it was pretty easy to log in as a guest.
Yeah. I'm sure the lawyer's been using it, and I'm sure that Ian knows how to do it as well.
Right. And I don't think there's anything even on the warrant that would require Ian to be there.
Right.
So I don't think it'd be a waste of his time to sit there for 2 hours the attorney, I guess, should be there. That's kind of a fiduciary thing that we should have him there. But I don't think other than that, we'd certainly like Kelly to participate if he can. He can do it from home, which is even better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we agree the lawyer should be there, we should make sure he knows the date of the – which meeting are we going to have him at? Both of the meetings? Both of the virtual meetings?
Well, the first one is informational only. He wouldn't need to – he never comes to the budget hearing. And then the annual meeting, that first one, is really just to explain the process that's going to happen at the following meeting, which that's the one he should be at, that last meeting.
Should we notify? Should we have Donna notify him of the date and time for that meeting to make sure he's available?
Yep. Probably a good idea. Yep.
Okay.
So you know that date, Donna?
I'll find it out. Yeah.
Okay. So it's called the annual meeting, the one right before the drive-through voting.
Yeah. I'll look. Yep.
So it's the last month. Yeah.
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 All right.
Okay.
Okay. We got signature items. We have they're all capital reserve fund transfers. We have $2,499.50. From the Water System Capital Reserve Fund, and that's to pay for the SW Coal ledge probes that were done, part of the RINOC project.
Yeah.
We have Monadnock Edna's Engineering for $1,230. That's to come from the water.
We already did that. We already did the last two, Jay. We did them last week.
So did we do the printer?
Yes.
Okay, no, I'm saying these are items that we have to actually, I believe, go in and sign for. I know we signed.
I signed them last week, didn't?
No, you didn't.
No,
I just
one,
typed them
they
up.
Were different. Right,
well,
they were different.
We talked about them and we agreed to do it, so we don't need to talk about it again.
It's in the notes from last meeting. Right, but I'm saying that Donna is going to produce them today for us to go in and sign.
Okay, but we don't need to talk about it twice. We already talked about her producing them. She should go ahead and produce them based on last week's meeting.
Right, I'm not asking for approval.
Again.
Yeah, I'm not asking for approval. I'm asking to make sure we know to go in and sign them.
Oh, if I got other stuff to sign, it's going to be there. Okay. It's wasting time.
All right.
Okay.
All right. We have, we got the Kingsbury. I left that on there again. So I went to the Data for Dollars webinar. That was very nice. And that's all I have to say about that.
The other thing is the approval for the building requirement fact sheet.
Building requirement fact sheet.
So what I did, Jay, did you have a chance to look at that?
I sure did.
Okay. One question I had on that, and basically I took Bob Boyd's comments, and which was basically an overview of what the requirements were to build not only in Madison but within the VDOE, so that when people call, we're sending them a document that addresses all of the issues. But what he did say in here, it said that he would need a copy of was the septic system one.
Yeah, the first bullet.
Okay, it was
bullet.
The first one. So that they would that a copy of construction from DES for a septic system, and then in parentheses he put if the owners hook up to the VDOE water system. So if they don't, they still need to provide a septic plan. I'm not sure why that was kind of was inserted that way.
Yeah, they actually don't. You can have a composting toilet. You don't have to have a septic system. There's a house in Idlewise that already is under that rule of the septic system. So the problem
Because said whether or not they use a waterless toilet.
Yeah. The problem I had with the summary for getting building permits and such is that I know you had described what the clearing and a buffer zone would be for basal trees, and you had stated in one instance that a 20-inch diameter tree equates to about 314 square feet. And I just want you to picture this. A 20-inch diameter tree, if I take a slice of that out, it becomes about as big as a serving tray that a waiter or waitress would hold when they bring your food to your table. So that's a lot smaller than 314 square feet, which is about the size of the restaurant that they'd be sitting in. So my suggestion
he wrote this. I did. He wrote this, Bob. He wrote this, Jay. I didn't. He wrote this. This is what Bob Boyd
those
wrote.
Those are Bob's numbers?
I cut and pasted an email that he sent explaining the building requirements. I didn't write this. He did.
Wow.
I can take that whole last paragraph out and just leave basal area, blah, 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 and get rid of his example.
Yeah, I wouldn't even summarize even what he had sent. What I was thinking, because I went right back to the zoning, is simply just put a link to the Madison zoning and let the people understand for themselves what it exactly says and not try to change anything. For example, the question about basal, do you know what basal growth is, what the minimum diameter is?
4 inches.
Yeah, well, the foresters will say it's 6, but there's always been that argument, 4 or 6. Then there's the perception that you can't, if you could clear 50% of the basal, you can't clear half the length of your boundary and leave the other half fully vegetated. When in fact, I was on the planning board when that was discussed and that zoning was adopted, and that is in fact true. You can open up a view by clear cutting 50%, but you have to leave the other 50% fully vegetated.
Oh. So, all right, so the whole
thing. You know, he might be talking about the root system for those trees. I mean, because his other number wouldn't make any sense either, Jay.
Okay.
He's
right,
probably talking about the root
out.
System of a 20-inch tree. But just so you know, there has to be a reason for those numbers. Even a 4-inch diameter tree wouldn't even be 1 square foot. So I think he's probably talking about the root system, and if you pull it out, is my guess.
Well, I can take out the last paragraph, which is the example, and the very beginning of this does reference the website. The very first sentence of this does reference the website.
Yeah, here's my suggestion. Just reference the website and let the people read for themselves where the source of the information is, and then they have to learn to understand it or hire a lawyer to read it.
Okay. And just say that Idlewise is only – the only permit from Idlewise is the driveway permit.
Yeah, because I'll be honest with you, if the zoning changes, and it has over the years, then we have to continually keep updating the summary of our our website.
I did think about that. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Point taken. And like I said, I just thought this was a good overview from Bob, so that when people are asking all these questions, poor Donna's not stuck in the middle. So maybe the best thing to do is the only ordinance, the only permitting that Idlewise does is the driveway permit. There's, you know, everything else, because Bob keeps pushing people back to the district,
yeah,
which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I'm getting, well, I called the building inspector, and he wants us to check with our ordinances to see if we have any specific ones.
Right.
We don't.
Like the garage, like for instance, a garage to be built on a lot, is that acceptable? I'm getting a lot of those calls. Because of
why
a lot of land.
Why don't we just send him our ordinances and tell him this is what we have, this is it, period. And say if
we have no building ordinance.
We have no building ordinances. Send him the road one and just say, Bob, here's all of our ordinances that might pertain to the questions you're getting. If it's the road ordinance and the driveway ordinance, right? This is it.
It's only the permit. It's not even an right.
Yeah.
So Jay,
tell him.
But Jay and I mean, you understand, you know, the connection between all these things. I hate to ask you to do one more thing, because I know you've been working diligently with a bunch of these projects, like the dam management thing. But maybe, you know, just write up that two sentences that I don't know if you want to communicate that to Bob Boyd, or we communicate that to the property owners, and just so that they can take a document to the town of Madison and say, look, here's the village district's position on building requirements, and just have it be a three-sentence thing, and basically, once a driveway permit's been approved, all other requirements and zoning and whatever is all listed within the town of Madison's building requirements or building ordinances. So Bob doesn't assume that maybe we have something else more restrictive than what the town has.
Right.
Because it looks like we can't, because anything that we've done...
Even if we did, it would be his job to enforce it. So he needs to know what our ordinances are. So my point is to say to him, this is the only ordinance we have, Bob, that we expect you to... And you should be communicating this to people who ask questions.
Yeah.
Why is that not part of his job? I don't understand.
And I think... And the one ordinance that the house must be 65 feet from the center of the road, that's unique to the VDOE, but he knows that. That's in...
Right.
The town of Madison's ordinance. So we don't, it's not incumbent upon the village district to create, because we can't enforce these ordinances. It's all part of the town of Madison.
Right.
So Jay, it would be nice to have it. It's not urgent. I think the budget and the warrant article issues are certainly more critical at this next 2 weeks, but just something that will explain that to a layman on how to proceed with going forward. It's very time consuming. I know for Donna to have to, you know, shift gears when the phone rings and think about it and come up with the right wording so that the people, you know, understand exactly what it is. So if there was just something that we could use as a quick document to forward to the realtors and the property owners.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put something together.
I'll put that on the motion log.
Can I just ask for clarification, though, for myself? Are just garages allowed to be built on a piece of property?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, it's up to the town of Madison. Don't limit that. We don't limit
that. Okay, that's good to know. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. So I dropping down the commissioner's report.
So what is the next steps on that? I'm just trying to get this for the minute.
Okay. So Jay will draft a procedure. Would you call it a procedure? Jay would draft building requirement fact sheet.
Process for requiring building permits. Yeah.
Okay. So Jay will draft building permit process.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you for doing that, because I think you would be better at doing it. Then we'll edit it down to a one paragraph.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And
is that going to replace the one that you did, Kathy, or is it going to be an addition to?
Yeah. I guess. Well, like Jay said, because that lists a lot of specifics in there with all the setbacks and the distance from the road. If all of a sudden there's an ordinance change, we have to make sure we keep updating our documents. So versus just sending them all to the town of Madison's website. That way it'll all be real time and updated and current.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Okay, so still under correspondence, Kathy, do you have anything else? You had the newsletter, the the Building Madison Summary.
Yep.
And the
pro bono
agreement.
Yep, Andrew wants to complete that. We talked about how to go about it, and he's going to be presenting it to his employer as well, just so that there's no conflict of interest there. And so he will put together the language to explain his role at the district, what activities he's going to be performing, what the value of those activities are, and his willingness to do those. And there's a whole page about liability and hold harmless and all of that. So it's a pretty comprehensive document. And so he will be working on that for us and for himself.
Okay. Yeah. Once we get that from him, I'd like to make sure we get it off to our lawyer for his review as well.
Okay.
Paula, you had something on what defines a meeting under the 91A?
I just sent out a note for my opinion on the discussion we had the last meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Paula, you have anything else for today?
I don't think so. I think I just wanted to talk about all that stuff with the budget. So.
Okay. All right. And we have, by the way, a 10:30 with Mark McConkey.
10:15.
I'm sorry, I had the wrong time on my paper here. 10:15. Okay. That's coming up very shortly. We have correspondence, and I'm just going to go over it real quickly. We had an increase in the random CDL drug testing from $150 to $162 is a new price. That's a $12 increase. I don't think that's going to break the bank. I think they usually do it maybe once or once every 2 years for our guys. We now have Adam Weiser has put in two more requests, and one was for any evidence. I don't have it in front of me, but he was actually asking for evidence on his fiduciary responsibility, and the other one was for evidence of something to do with the improvements that were made to his driveway.
Well, one was something about a fiduciary. Hang on a second.
Fiduciary responsibility as a commissioner. Any evidence that he has done wrong on that. And I'd rather talk about that with our attorney. And then he says in that email that there is no evidence. It's a matter of record, he says. There is no evidence, so he's going to give us the 5 days to fully respond with an answer, I guess, of there is no evidence, is what he's saying.
I guess that my point of view on this, and maybe we do want to do a quick send to the attorney, this is not an actual 91A request. A 91A request is to ask for actual records, things that you know that you want. He's asking us for our opinion or our opinion on something that it would be like sending us a note and say, send me every piece, every minute from every meeting that shows you think you did a good job in the meeting. It's not an actual 91A request. He's not there's nothing he's requesting. He's asking us for. I don't think this is actually a valid 91A request based on, because he's not telling us what he wants. He's asking us to decide what he wants. That's not how 91. I don't think I tried to look this up on 91A and what it basically said was they even had a lot of NRA and NMHA forms, a lot of forms you can use if you want to, which we could actually put in place. Like here's a very specific, but people are supposed to request specific things. You can't just request. He wants us to decide what we should send, not for him to decide what he wants. I think we should ask the lawyer if it's a valid 91A request. I don't know if it is.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point, Paula.
Yeah, the lawyer does have Adam's email that he sent to us on this matter, and so I'm going to recommend that we go to non-public after this meeting to discuss that, because there are some important points that are in that certain words that make it important. All right. On another correspondence we got from Larry Leonard about the water use and tank questions. There were quite a few questions he had, and we did talk about it last week, the water usage. So if you don't mind, so as not to delay this meeting any longer, I will try to answer as many questions that Larry had in that email.
Were those 91A requests from Larry?
He did not state that it was 91A.
Yeah, it's just questions and concerns.
Right.
Okay.
And just for the commissioners to review it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think the question is, do we want to respond? I mean, I think Kathy's right. It's not a 91A request, but he's asking us some questions, and do we want to respond to his questions is really, I think,
we can give him simple answers, and we've already talked about it today. We really don't have the instrumentation tell us why we have such a high water usage in the months of November to December.
It was brought to our attention earlier that on that spreadsheet, and I think what we did with the 12-month spreadsheet for the water usage, both the gallons from the pumps and the electrical charges, the Eversource bills, we added another column so that we could have December of this year and December of last year. So you're comparing a month to month. And when we did that somehow the formulas got shifted and we're missing. There was a little bit of formatting issue with that document.
Right.
So he did mention that, and I think David Mosley picked up on that too. That one of the columns was not showing up, and the totaling might have been inaccurate.
Right. Okay.
I mean, Donna, is that something you want me to take a look at?
The daily usage is what one of them they're talking about.
Yep.
I literally just copied what was in the computer to start the new year. So those were the old formulas that were always used. I didn't change any formulas. I did find there was a mistake, and starting this year, I did fix the formula. So that's the daily usage that they're talking about. And the Eversource one, I'm just copying what was there prior to me and just making it a new year. So...
Because it was one mention that one thing said like a million gallons and that was just a typo.
Use, not the, yeah, that was the daily
was that
use,
a typo?
Not the Eversource
right.
one.
But was that a typo? Was that a typo?
Are the numbers put in manually or are they not picked up from somewhere? So what Kathy's asking is could that number be a typo?
Possibly.
Okay, because I think too, somebody else mentioned that same thing that it said, you know, that it was probably not a million gallons. It was 1 million something as far as they can find Larry's.
I have his note up. I know what you mean. Yeah. July shows that 5.5 million gallons were pumped. Explain. Is that the one? Or
no, there was another one that was more specific to a date. Ski man.
No, I have it right in front of me. I don't see that one.
Yeah.
Did he send? Mm-hmm. Oh, November electric is much higher.
Oh, no, this one's old. This one's from...
Okay, the November one included December's also, because I got the last bills from Eversource that we paid last week, and that was much lower because November's was and December's were combined in November.
Okay, all right, well, that would explain that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have these water usage spreadsheets, right? You sent these to us already?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'd be happy to go back and look at this also and see and look at the spreadsheet and recheck all the columns and everything, all the calculations if you want me to.
Yeah, I don't think it was a... Yeah, two people mentioned they noticed that.
Oh, Jay, are you going to answer his question? Do you feel like you
know?
Yeah,
I was going to try to answer as many of his questions and then forward that back through the office, let the other commissioners review that before we actually agree to send that out to him.
Okay.
I'm just trying to find that one from that most recent one from Larry. Hmm. Okay. All right.
January 13th, Kathy. 337.
Thank you.
347.
Oh, we had a lot on 313.
Yes.
At agenda full year. Okay, so we're kind of just waiting now for Mark to call in, Mark McConkey.
Yeah.
Okay. Wi-Fi. Minutes for today. Oh, that was the 12th. Okay, so go back up here.
You guys don't need me for anything, right? I can go?
We're good, Kelly. Thank you.
All right. Well, I just want to let you know that I did leave here on the desk my evaluation sheet and some information, 30-town survey and surrounding town survey that I did.
Oh, good.
That you might want to take into account. Donna can read it to you if you wanted to, but it's there.
Donna, can you
scan
that and
can you
send it to us?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't see that on here.
It's the 13th. I just resent it to you, Kathy.
Okay. All right. I can't find it. Questions and concerns. There we go. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so it's July,
Jay,
so it's 5.5 million.
Jay, are you having a water committee meeting anytime soon? I thought you guys were going to kind of reconvene to talk about the asset management, or are you going to wait until after the annual meeting to do that?
Yeah, I saw Larry Leonard at the mailboxes, and I informed him of the asset management grant award, and I asked him to, as chair, to start thinking about putting together the committee again and to really address the asset management, especially for the annual meeting, talk it up. So, we are going to do that, to your question, yeah.
Okay, right, because he was saying the format change in the columns of the spreadsheet starting in October 2020 has eliminated the totals column and has a redundant DPW column. So there was a comment there about the columns in the spreadsheet.
And that I know the sheet was changed by Lynn, so that might have been an error. I corrected the to start in January.
Okay. All right, because it's easy to do when you're moving stuff around to forget to bring your formulas forward.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right.
I did find an error and I did change it, so I hope I'll double check and resend it out to you.
Larry. Okay. It dropped off the totals column. That's all. And maybe the other a redundant DPW total. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for taking me in today.
Okay, no problem, Mark. Mark, this is Jay Buckley. On the call today, we have myself, Donna McKinnon, Commissioner Kathy Kozel, and Commissioner Paula Doyle. And we also have one of our residents and also our treasurer, Dinah Reese, I believe, is still on the line. And do we have anybody else, Donna?
Nope.
Okay. So, Mark, the microphone is yours. I am reviewing or have reviewed your drawings that you sent forward. So has anybody else had any problems, I should say, in opening those up? Or?
Okay. Well, I finally got to open them up. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mark, the microphone is yours. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. So we spoke about this property, just before the holidays, and I said I was going to speak to the owners and make some changes depending on what they wanted to do, or the prospective buyer of this property, the Shepics, which are on the address is on the bottom. No, that is the current owner. I apologize. My son Jacob, who works in the office also. What they've decided to do after listening to some concerns of the board was to downgrade the septic system from 4-bedroom to 3-bedroom, which creates a smaller footprint. But they have a large family, and they've increased the footprint of the home that they're looking to build. They want to have a garage to drive into, and it's connected by a breezeway. So that's what we're showing here. We've also, since the drawing we'd sent to you, worked out calculations with the state of New Hampshire using their modeling as to how much stormwater would be coming off these structures, and making sure that, number one, we contain on the property, but number two, contain it right next to the structures with drip line trenches, so that that water is not mitigating into those poorly drained soils, which are ahead of the pond. The design we're using, or the system we're using, is a Presby Advanced Enviro, which is a proprietary system that is permitted to be put at close distances to bedrock, but it's also allows a installed to be 2 feet above seasonal high water, as opposed to the state standard, which is 4 feet. It's the same system, proprietary system, that we used up on the Blinden Drive septic system that we were in the Madison hearing, I think it was a month or 2 months ago. So the lot had received a prior septic approval for 4-bedroom. That septic design had run out, and we were asked by the owners to revise that. And what we're showing here is what the new buyer would like to build. And with that, we're happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you very much, Mark. This is Jay Buckley. I see from your drawing, and I guess I'll ask for some clarification for myself and the other board members if they don't already know. You got your grids 1, 2, and 3 down by the waterfront. Could you explain that grid point system to us?
Sure. So the process we need to go, well, there's three processes we need to get through. One of them is subsurface, and the other is shoreland. And what is shown in those grids in the front are the trees that are in front of the proposed home, and a point value that's assigned to those by the state of New Hampshire. And every one of those grids is supposed to maintain a minimum of 25 points. And the so we're showing the trees that are there. There's no plans at this time to cut any of those trees, but I believe it shows all, with the exception of grid one, have more than enough trees. Four is the guy also.
Yeah,
we're not working anywhere in the 50-foot buffer. Everything we're working on is 75 feet further and back, which basically takes us to probably about the 200-foot mark.
Yep. And so that 75-foot setback is compliant with the zoning regulations for the Idyllwise Village District. Another question I had for you was, it looks like on your map here that you're planning on installing a well for this property. Is that true?
We're trying not to do that. The original design had come through with a well shown on there, and we'd asked for some clarification by the water department as to whether this lot has a shutoff put anywhere near there that they can hook up. It is not the owner's intent to do a well, but the at the same time, if it requires a $6,000 check to try and get through, you know, this planning process, they weren't willing to do that either. So we just kept it on there. The owners are more than happy to tie into the water system that you have. which I believe they're required to do anyways.
Yeah, because we have actually, at least the map that we have shows a water line both on Interlaken as well as Althorp. So you could access the water system from either water main.
They would like to do that, and we'd be happy making revisions to show that the proposed well is coming off there.
Okay, great. Thank you. Kathy, a follow-up.
Well, just to clarify, if the water main does run in front of that property and they do choose to hook up, there is still an $8,000 hookup fee to do that.
Yeah, and they understand that, and they're happy to do that, much less than paying for a well.
Okay. No, I don't have anything else, Jay. I mean, we kind of defer to you on that.
Yeah, Paul, you have any questions, concerns?
No, I mean, I'm just amused by people that are going to build a three-bedroom house, but they have all these people. They have a big family. They're going to have the same number of people using the septic system.
Right.
Maybe they're going to put more beds in each bedroom. I don't know. I mean, it's just that's what they're getting the proof for. That's, you know, I mean, I guess the question is, what are we now trying to, I'm trying to remember what you're asking us for approval on. Is it to support the variance or to?
Yes. Yeah, so we need to go before the Madison Planning Board, zoning board, to get an approval. And I was there three months ago, and I saw the board had a lot of questions. And I thought it'd be easier just to approach you folks and talk about it and try and gain your approval or find out if you don't approve, and then we just proceed on.
So you're going to them to get a variance because you're putting this near the wetlands, right? Is that why?
That's correct.
And I understand. Okay, so you still need the variance with this revised design, but you're saying you think it's a better design because it's this better system and it's smaller and you've addressed some of the drainage issues. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
So, Mark, could you explain? Obviously, your redesign, I think, has taken away some of the variance requests that you originally had after hearing our concerns from the Board of Commissioners at the ZBA hearing, which I presented. Can you at least outline to us what those remaining variances are so that we can understand those and feel whether we're satisfied with those or not?
Okay, be happy to.
Yeah.
Jake, let me just switch over so you can catch Jake up here, too. Go ahead, Jake.
So we need a variance for the house foremost for being 23.69 feet to the wetlands, where it would usually need to be 30 feet. And then our septic system meets NHDES subsurface standards, where it's 50 feet away from the poorly drained soil, but in Madison, it needs to be 75 feet, so we're also asking for a variance for the septic system placement.
I'm sorry, how far is yours? No?
55.85 feet away from the poorly drained soil on one side, and then 51.31 to the other poorly drained towards the back of the lot. The only place on the lot where we can meet NHDES subsurface standards to put the septic system. When you go to the Town of Madison standards, there's no way to meet it. If you see the brown dashed line around where the septic tank is, that's 75 feet away from the poorly drained on both sides, and there's nowhere to put a septic system. And even if we did, it would be closer to the water that way. Than not.
Got it. Okay.
Thank you, Jake.
Okay, and so you're going with a Presby system, which I understand they're a little more expensive, but they're a lot more safe in an area such as this. I think they're specifically designed for areas that do have poorly drained soils and are close to wetlands. So I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, it costs the property owner a little bit more money, but it's the right thing to do.
Sure.
And I'm just trying to identify, Mark, Jake, the your roof lines, your drip line in your infiltration trenches. So you're going to infiltrate through the trench itself and not direct the water or have it flow to some other location. Is that correct?
That'd be correct. So what's coming off the roof lines will be directed into the drip trenches, which are just deep stone trenches, and then mm-hmm. they'll absorb into the subsurface instead of allowing them to just run, you know, off the roof and possibly channel, you know, to the lower wetlands.
Okay. Gotcha. And this, there's a breezeway. I'm not sure if Kathy and Paula can see the breezeway between the garage and the mm-hmm. house.
Yep.
Okay. Will that be an open air breezeway, or will be it fully enclosed and heated?
Yeah. That is a good question, sir. I don't know the answer to that because I don't know their proposal. I know they wanted to be able to walk, you know, from the garage into the home, but it's not to be for any living space. We could get that answered for you.
Okay. All right.
Well, it looked like it was just a covered walkway.
Yeah. If it were mm-hmm. a living or a dwelling structure, such as it being heated, you might have to actually go into the soils with a frost wall. You should probably go in with a frost wall anyhow, even if it's just a slab.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Kathy, Paula, do you have any other concerns with regards to the development of this particular lot?
Nope. You know, as you mentioned, we certainly appreciate, you know, him coming to the commissioners and explaining the situation and making some adjustments to make the wetland setbacks and closeness to the property lines a little bit more agreeable.
Okay. Thank you.
And just from my experience as a planning board member in Madison for roughly 16 years, a long time ago, another life. There is a certain right that is provided to a property owner to develop their property. And in this particular case, this lot being somewhat difficult to develop, we had a consultation with the property owner's designer, Mr. McConkney, and he and the property owner have made adjustments based on our concerns, and as Kathy mentioned, I truly appreciate that, because to be honest with you, Mark, nobody listens to us, but you have. But I think that you've done as much as possible, and the property owner has agreed to that, in getting a safe design that is effectively protecting our precious ponds. The value of Edelweiss is really based on our water, and we want to protect that as much as possible, and I think you've complied with our desires and our values, and so I see no reason to object to the variances that you're requesting. And I ask the other two commissioners, do we feel the same, or do we feel we need to bring something up to the zoning board?
Nope, I agree with you, Jay.
Yeah, I agree as well.
Okay. Mark or Jake, do you have any other questions for the board?
I don't. And I don't want you to disparage yourself by being an old planner. I've been on the Lakes Region Planning Commission for over 18 years, so. Someone must listen to me. Yeah. No, we don't have any further questions. We appreciate the time.
All right. Hey, we appreciate, Mark, you actually reaching out to this board. That doesn't often happen. And so, again, we appreciate yourself coming in to discuss this with us, and also the property owners understanding our concerns as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. All right.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to jump back to the agenda. Wow. Is it possible that we're done? I don't have any other new business. I do obviously want, we need to go into non-public for a couple of reasons.
Three reasons.
Yeah, 91A. Help me out here, Donna. Do you have your cheat sheet in front of you?
Yeah, I got my cheat sheet. I just was pulling it. I know you need it.
You didn't ask for public comment, Jay.
Oh, hang on. Yes, I'm sorry. Anybody for public comment? Dinah, I know we already spoke with you, but you might have something else up your sleeve.
Well, I know we copied all of you on that loan payment we made this week. I just make sure you were aware. I think the payment slip from the bank came through a little late, but
you think?
but anyway, I made a decision that we should automatically pay that right from our account, so that's been paid. The semi-annual payment was made, and that principal reduction that you required too was made. So. I just thought I didn't want to pay $575 in a late charge, so I made that decision.
Okay, so
going forward,
is that in
so
fact,
going forward, they're going to be automatically withdrawn from the account?
Well, I didn't set it up that way. That might be a discussion we can have, not necessarily right now. However, the majority of our loans are with Bank of New Hampshire, and so is our checking account. So we could do that if that's what you wanted to do. It might be helpful, but it's sort of up to you, too.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. And my question was, I guess I was getting confused with another loan, which was for the Reinhardt tank. So this possible late fee of $500-plus was for the truck. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and so we avoided that by... Okay, great. Thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
Checks to be signed and all of that, and you know... I didn't want us to be late on it for the first anyway, but I certainly wasn't going to pay that. So I will, at next meeting, maybe we can discuss this. And if you want to take all the Bank of New Hampshire loan payments automatically out of our checking account, that certainly could be done. It might be easier for everybody.
Yeah, because there might be a day or a week where someone in the office while one of the commissioners is on vacation, we just didn't remember this, and there's just nobody to attend to that need on that particular week. So it might be beneficial to set up automatic payments. I do it all the time.
Yeah, I do some personal accounts, but, this is the village. And so maybe think about it, and next week, if you want to take a vote, I will set those up.
Okay. Perfect. Any other public comment? Do we have anybody else in the public on the line other than Dinah?
No.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion, and help me out here, Donna, to go into non-public under several reasons. 91A, colon, and what's the one for employee review?
91A, dash, 3... number 2A.
A, okay. And then we have another one under legal correspondence or legal advice.
That's RSA under L. 91A3. Yeah.
Okay. And Paula, did you think there was another one?
Yeah, we were going to have a non-public, which I think is the one we should do first, with Donna to talk about her her proposal for hiring. And we should do that one first with her so that we can include her. And
that's
then we
under,
can.
Yeah, that's yeah, under B.
Under B. And then we should do that one first, and then we can do a one where she doesn't have to be included. She has other things to do on the review and on legal.
Okay.
That way,
all right.
And I'll do the minutes for all of them, but that would be my recommendation.
Okay, so I'll agree with
you
that.
You have to come in and out at each one separately. I mean, that's really, we can do that. I can write all that up, but we need to have three separate meetings. So I'd like to do. I would recommend the first one with.
We're going to go into non-public B, which is going to be with Donna. Okay, so that's going to be our first non-public. Is going to be B, letter B, as in boy.
Okay.
Okay.
All in favor of going to non-public? Sorry.
Yeah. How are we doing this with the four of us?
We can stay on this line if Dinah is not is going to hang up. But
yeah.
All right. Bye.
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 Thank you.
All right. Let me stop the recording. Or do you have to say it?
Yep. Stop the recording. I've